Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 24. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, who presented to the governor their case against Paul. When Paul had been called in, Tertullus opened the prosecution. "Because of you, we have enjoyed a lasting peace, and your foresight has brought improvements to this nation. In every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with all gratitude. But in order not to delay you any further, I beg your indulgence to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a pestilence, stirring up dissension among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and he even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all our charges against him." The Jews concurred, asserting that these charges were true. When the governor motioned for Paul to speak, he began his response. "Knowing that you have been a judge over this nation for many years, I gladly make my defense. You can verify for yourself that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Yet my accusers did not find me debating with anyone in the temple, or riling up a crowd in the synagogues, or in the city. Nor can they prove to you any of their charges against me. I do confess to you, however, that I worship the God of our fathers according to the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is laid down by the law and written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God that they themselves cherish, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In this hope, I strive always to maintain a clear conscience before God and man. After several years, then, I returned to Jerusalem to bring alms to my people and to present offerings. At the time they found me in the temple, and was not inciting a crowd or an uproar. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to appear before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Otherwise, let these men state for themselves any crime they found in me when I stood before their Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing I called out as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Then Felix, who was well informed about the way, adjourned the hearing and said, "When Lysias the commander comes, I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to allow him some freedom and permit his friends to minister to his needs. After several days, Felix returned with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul expounded on righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, "You may go for now. When I find the time, I will call for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for Paul frequently and talked with him. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. This is God's word. Paul was taken from Jerusalem to Caesarea to protect his life from a plot by his Jewish opponents at the end of the last reading in Acts 23. 5 days, according to verse 1, after Paul arrived in Caesarea, his Jewish opponents showed up there to charge him with stirring up conflict among the Jews, as we read in verses 2 through 9. Paul answered the charges against him by appealing to what actually happened and by appealing to the lack of proof his opponents had for their charges, as we saw in verses 10 through 13. Paul skillfully wove the gospel into his defense, starting in verse 14. Felix the governor, who was handling this case, punted the case to a later date, as we saw in verses 22 and 23. But a few days later, Felix and his wife Drusilla set up a private meeting with Paul in verses 24 through 26. That meeting allowed Paul to specifically bring the gospel to this couple. An interesting aspect of this is that Felix was a Gentile, a Roman governor, but his wife Drusilla was Jewish, according to verse 24b. So Paul had a mixed audience, religiously speaking, when he spoke to this couple. How did he handle the opportunity? According to verse 25, we read this. Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And that's the beginning of verse 23 in the NIV. Now let's break that down. First, Paul talked about righteousness. And righteousness refers to what is right, how someone measures up to a standard, in this case, the standard of God's perfect righteousness revealed in God's law. Self-control, which Paul also talked about, has to do with a person's ability to say no to his sinful impulses and instead to choose to do what is right. And judgment to come, which Paul also spoke about, that of course refers to the fact that every person will stand before God and give an account of his or her life. In other words, Paul spoke to Felix and Drusilla about right and wrong, about their inability to control themselves enough to do what is right, and about the fact that God would judge them individually for doing what was wrong. What was the reaction? Verse 25b says, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave." Again, that's verse 25b from the NIV. In other words, Paul's conversation with them caused Felix to feel conviction of sin and to feel his need for a savior. Unfortunately, Felix did not repent at Paul's teaching and find forgiveness in Christ. But once again, Paul's approach when talking to him is instructive for us when we speak about Christ to unbelievers. Almost any point of sin is an adequate starting point for the gospel. So when you're talking with an unbeliever, if they complain about an injustice in the news, or about crime, or about the lack of self-control they see in other people, or in young people, that's an opportunity to talk about Christ. Why do people dislike it when others can't exercise self-control? Because an uncontrolled population is dangerous and difficult to live in. But what standard do unbelievers use to complain about the sins, injustices, and failures of self-control in others? Well, they appeal to God's standards, even though they may not know it or may even deny it. The Bible says that God's law is written on the heart of every human, and that means we have an intuitive sense of right and wrong. Use that. Show unbelievers how they too fall short of the standards they apply to others. And admit to them that you too fall short, but that Jesus didn't. That will give you the opportunity to share what Christ has done for us to deliver us from the coming judgment of God at the end of the age. So you can use this little outline that Paul gave us to say the same kinds of things to unbelievers around you. So think about this and look for opportunities to talk about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment to come. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.